We lay a heavy emphasis on preaching and teaching the Word of God in this church. There is no book that has ever been written that holds the preeminent position of the Bible, God's blessed Word. It is the most up-to-date book you will ever read in your life. And it is a book you can depend upon in giving you the truth and the instruction that we need as God's people from day to day. I hope you'll turn with me this morning to Romans chapter number 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to read for your hearing, and you will be listening intently, following along in your scripture as I read for you. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, verses 28 through 34. Beginning with that very familiar verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. Please notice every word in your Bible is very important. It does not say for what He did foreknow. It said for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want to speak from verse number 31. The words right in the middle of that verse, if God be for us. If God be for us. This is a statement of fact. It is not a conditional promise. It's a statement of fact. The word if can be translated since. It is not saying that just in case God might be for us, but rather what it is saying, it is since God is for us. That's a fact. It's established. It's full of authority. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Again, he's not saying that believers will not run into opposition and problems, because we know that they will. What he is saying is that no matter who or what stands against us, it will not amount to anything compared to him who stands for us. What shall we say to these things? We can most assuredly say that God is for us. What a comfort. What an announcement to make on a day like this. What a promise to make in view of the cataclysmic judgment, it seems, that's pending on the horizon for our nation, that God is for us. Now, we can know this for a fact because of these things. What things? The things that are recorded in verses 28 through 30. Those are the things that give us the assurance that God is for us. God is for us in providence. God is for us in providence. You say, well, what in the world is providence? Well, you know what provision is. Same root word there. God is the provider. God is the one who is over the control of your life and my life by His divine providence. And we know that all things, and that means all things, work together, not for everybody, but it works together for those who love God and those who are called according to the purpose of God. God's in control of providence, my dear friends. If I had to give you a definition of providence, it would be something like this. Providence is the execution in time of what God planned in eternity. Now, before you and I were ever born, my dear friend, God was busy planning. He planned on how to create the heavens and the earth, and He planned on man that was to follow that creation. And He also planned for His people, His elect, when they would be saved by God's grace in time, providence would be a great comfort to them. We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. One of my favorite songs. It's difficult to find the words, Brother Roger. Maybe you can help me with that sometime. The Unseen Hand. The Unseen Hand. There is an unseen hand today, my dear friend. No man hath seen God at any time. But I tell you what, we're under the will and the protection of God Almighty. If God be for us, who then can be against us? I want to tell you again, God is for us in providence. God is for us in foreknowledge and love. Verse number 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many. God is for us in foreknowledge. The Greek word translated into the English foreknowledge is the Greek word prognosis. You say, well, that's an English word, isn't it? It most certainly is. Doctors use it all the time. Not diagnosis. Diagnosis has to do with cutting it open and trying to come to some conclusion of what needs to be done. Maybe you need a tonsillectomy. Maybe you need an appendectomy. Maybe you need a heart transplant. Trying to find out what, as a doctor, I can do. I diagnose. But my dear friends, it is the word prognosis. That's to tell me what I can expect, how it's going to work, and the good that's going to come from it. And whatever you might be faced with today, my dear friends, I don't care how bad it is, there's something better than what you know today, and that is, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's for us in foreknowledge and in love. By the way, foreknowledge has to do with more than just knowing a thing's going to happen before it happens. It has to do with the element of love. Do you remember in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is talking about, the Lord Jesus is talking about, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? Have we not done the other? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Question, did He know them intellectually? Absolutely. He made the human race, my dear friends. God knows how many stars there are, and God knows how many people are alive on planet Earth today, and God knows there's not anything that God does not know. He is omniscient, but the Lord is not using that to say that I did not get acquainted with these people. He is saying, I did not love these people. There never was a time when I had a relationship with these people. You know, in the Bible, you find that term, Adam knew his wife. He knew his wife. You think that's the first time he ever met her? Not at all, my dear friends. He had a very intimate love relationship with his wife. And I want to tell you, God has an intimate love relationship with those that belong to him. If God be for us, since God is for us, he's for us in providence. He's for us in foreknowledge and love. But watch this, though some of you might not care for it, rest of us do. He is for us in predestination. That's what the scripture says, verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What did he predestinate? That everyone that belongs to him will one day bear the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to take place. Now, we probably are a long ways off from it today. But every day we live ought to be a little bit more like the Lord. And one day when you breathe your last breath and you take your last step as a human being on this earth and you belong to him, you're going to go to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. If God be for us. No, since God is for us. Not only for us in predestination, but he's for us in the effectual call. Verse number 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. There's a step and a process going on there. The effectual call simply means it cannot be resisted. Anytime you think you can resist, you need to go visit Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Rigor mortis had already set in. The death had had him for 4 days. By this time, his sisters thought he stinketh. And Christ Jesus stood at the mouth of that tomb and said, Lazarus. It was a call he could not resist. It was a call he didn't want to resist. And his eyes flicked and his body began to move and he was raised from the dead. And then the Lord said, come forth. Yes, sir. He said, aye, captain. And he came out of that tomb. God is for us in the effectual call. God is for us in justification. I must hurry. God is not only for us in justification. That means all charges dropped. Not some of them dropped. You're not on probation. All charges. All charges have been dropped, and God is for us in glorification. Our salvation is complete. I was reading some time ago a statement made by A.C. Dixon, who anytime you get anything written by him, you ought to read it because it's worth the time it takes to read it. Mr. Dixon made this statement. Would you listen to it? This passage that we're talking about, that we've just read from God's word here in Romans chapter number 8, this passage portrays God's plan of eternal salvation as a great suspension bridge which spans over a deep river chasm. The large cables are anchored in the mountain rocks on either side and are stretched over the top of the great pillars and swung above the river. Large and strong arms of steel hang from these cables and support the bridge structure as constant streams of traffic go across. Foreknowledge and predestination take their anchor back in the eternal counsels of the triune God before time was. Glorification anchors the cables of divine grace in the eternity yet future, while calling and justification take hold of the elect in actual experiences here in time as we're carried safely over the turbulent currents of life. God is for us all the way. He who hath begun a good work in you will keep it going, will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Following outline this morning may help us as we try to bring this message. Number one, who's going to be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who's going to be against us? Number two, who will not be against us? Who won't be against us? And number three, the practical effect in our lives, because God is for us. Who will be against us? Did you notice there's a super play on that little word, W-H-O? Who? 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 He says, who will then be against us? He says in verse number 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to accuse us? Number three, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Who's going to condemn us? And verse number 35, who will ever be able to separate us? Who will do that? Well, I want to tell you. Number one, man will be against us. Man generically, men and women, the human race, man will be against us. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew 10. I want you to turn to it if you would. Keep your marker at Romans chapter 8. Matthew 10 verses 16 through 22. Who's going to be after us? Who's going to stand against us? Man will stand against us. Matthew 10 verses 16 and following to verse 22. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Now, he doesn't send us forth as goats. He sends us forth as sheep. That means he sends the saved ones, the believers in Christ. In the midst of wolves, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. Have to watch out for men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how and what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. It is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which will speak in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of whom? All men, for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Man will be against us. Do not forget, it was Job's wife who said to Job, curse God and die. I think she had had his condition up to here. And she didn't know how much else God's going to do to him. She said, why don't you just get this thing done? Curse God and die. Sometimes wives can say the most terrible things. Men can say the most, husbands can say the most terrible things. Beware of it. Man will be against you. E.W. Johnson, who's gone on to be with the Lord many, many years. As a matter of fact, he pastored Calvary Baptist Church up in Arkansas for over 50 years. Had the privilege of being in his church probably 10 or 15 different times, preaching in meetings. On one occasion, Brother Johnson said this, and I wrote it down. He said, the most dangerous thing that walks on the earth walks on 2 feet. How many things do you know walk on 2 feet? Especially in the human rationale of things. Roman Catholics, according to historical fact, murdered and put to death 50 million Anabaptists during the Dark Ages. As a matter of fact, the major road at that time going into Rome, they had it lined up with fence posts on either side of the road, and atop each fence post was the head of an Anabaptist. Cut his head off and stuck it on the fence post. Who's going to be against me? I tell you who will be against you. People. Yes, sir. Men. Bloody Mary had the reformers burned at the stake. She wasn't content with just stoning them to death. She wanted to burn them so she could delight in hearing them scream before they died. That's a matter of fact. More recently, Adolf Hitler had 6 million Jews put to death, burned. My Lord, my dear friends, what a statement here. Man will be against us. Now, there's somebody out there, listen to me, it's going to be against you. You might as well get ready for it. It's coming. And it might be a little bit more severe than you think it is. Man will be against us. Not only that, but the world system will be against us. We live in a system, a worldly system, my dear friends, that is not a friend of Christianity. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, listen to the words of Christ Jesus. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That has not changed, dear friend. Who's against me? The world's against you. The world system is against you. When I talk about the world system, I'm not talking about the beauty and the cosmetics of this created universe. I'm talking about the philosophy and the ethics and the ideas that the world has. In case you have not noticed, it's getting worse and worse and worse. 1 John 2:15-16, love not the world. Not talking about the beautiful world that we live in, talking about the world system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If the world hate you, it hated me before it hated you. 1 John 5:19, we're of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. You stand against some things that are scriptural. You stand against those things and stand for what the scripture says. And you're going to have some folks that wouldn't even wipe their foot on you. I'm telling you, they will spit on you. You do not have to wear a red baseball cap saying, make America great. All you got to do is say, I believe the Bible is the word of God. And they'll come get you. Stand against the abortionist. Stand against the sodomites. And watch the world coil and strike out at you. Hey, by the way, did you ever thought you'd live to see the day when a couple of guys who want to be president of the United States, one of them is a sodomite and the other one is a communist? You're welcome. Well, I just don't believe in saying in. That's what your problem is. You don't believe in anything. God wants us to take a stand for that which is right. Now, when we do, if the world hated him, going to hate us also. Get ready for it. Who will be against us? Man will be against us. The world system will be against us. Our own flesh, ladies and gentlemen, will be against us. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul said in Romans 7:18, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That war, that constant battle that goes on. Temptation comes to tempt the flesh. And many times the flesh acquiesces and agrees with the temptation. May God have mercy on us. We're being attacked not only from without, we're being attacked from within.
Yes, sir.
The devil will be against us. Need we say more? Well, maybe a little more. 1 Peter 5:8. By the way, Simon Peter wrote this to the elect of God the Father, those sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This is the message he wrote to the elect of God and those that had been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, not my adversary, not his adversary, my personal adversary, your personal adversary, is the devil as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Yes, he is. He's out to get you. He's out to get you. Who will be against us? Not only those things, but number two, who will not be against us? Who will not be against us? Number one, God the Father. Why, my dear friends, the Bible even teaches you how to pray daily to God the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's not against you. If you belong to him, God's not against you. Before the worlds were created, he chose unto himself a people and predestinated us and adopted us as sons in his family. I cannot begin to say it as clearly as the Apostle Paul said it in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about the God the Father is not against us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Praise the Lord. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God the Father will not be against you. God the Father is for you. He's for you. Not only is God the Father will not be against us, God the Son will not be against us. In the reference in Romans chapter 8, verse number 34, the scripture says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Think of all that what the Lord has done for you since you've come to know him as your Lord and your Savior. It'd be very unfair to say that he's against me. No, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus is for you. God the Father is for you. God the Holy Spirit is also for you. In Romans 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is for you. We've got quite an intercessory staff, my dear friends, in the Son and in the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us on this earth. It is the Son of God who intercedes for us up in heaven. He's for you. He's for you. He's for you. Could I insert this? The law of God is not against us. No, sir. The law of God is not against us. Look at verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? People can call you anything they want to, but it won't hold water, my dear friends, because it is God that justifieth. Our sins have been paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the law of God is not against us. The law is not out to get us anymore. Well, there was a time when it was out to get me. And there was a time, perhaps, when it was out to get you. And there's some of you get under conviction when you drive your car. It's looking rear view all the time. Looking for the law. Huh? Come on, folk. Huh? The person that drives your automobile the most. Don't we do that all the time? Don't have to do that anymore. If we do what God tells us to do, we don't have to worry about the law. Why is that so? Because the Holy Spirit of God's in the front seat. And when the Holy Spirit of God, who is in you, in the front seat, you don't have to worry about the law anymore. You'll do what you're supposed to do. And when you start doing what you're supposed to do, the law becomes your friend. These people today want to kill cops. They don't like cops because they don't like God. I said they don't like cops because they don't like God. If they could, they'd take God off of his throne. All you got to do is to see the salvation of a derelict, of a sinner. See the derelict of a man who's been a menace to society. See him saved by the grace of God. And all of a sudden, my dear friend, he loves police officers. Amen. Praise God for law and order. I don't know whether you're with me this morning or not. Somebody else is for you. Talked about those against you, what there is against you. Let me say to you, the holy angels are for you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Sometimes that unseen hand belongs to an angel, as well as God, as well as the Lord who is in heaven. That unseen hand, those times, my dear friends, when you miss catastrophe just by that much, you say, boy, I'm glad I knew how to drive. You better wise up. It's the angel of God. I believe God sends his angels to care for us. I believe it with all my heart. Don't have the time to go into that. Let me give you a classic Bible example. I was going to give a personal, but this is much, much better. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, the king of Syria was trying to take over and destroy the Israelites. And every time he would plot and arrange a plan and go after the Israelites, by the time he got there, somebody was telling the Israelites what the king of Syria was going to do. And they had prevented him from doing it. And finally the king wised up and he said, somebody in our crowd is ratting. They're telling everything that they hear to the Israelites. And that's the reason the Israelites continue to stay alive. And somebody said to the king, no, it's not one of us. It's a guy by the name of Elijah. He's the one been telling them. He said, well, where is he? We want to do away with him. He's over in Dothan. And so he sent and dispatched a whole army of Syrians. And those Syrians encamped the whole area of Dothan up in the mountains, made a circle around it. Elijah was down inside. He was asleep. And his servant came running to him and he said, guess what, preacher? We're in real trouble. And Elijah got up and he looked and he saw the enemy. And then all of a sudden, he saw something he had not anticipated. God sent a band of angels, and they surrounded Elijah and would not suffer one harm to come to Elijah. You know, I recommend a God like that. A God that knows when you need problems solved, and a God that knows when you need trouble to help you get through the situation you're running. A God who knows how to do that and does it effectively. Amen. He's for us. Amen. He's for us. Well, what's the practical effect of this doctrine we're talking about? Since God is for us, who can be against us? We presented to you who will be against us. Now, who's for you? And then what effect should it have on our lives as Christians? When we leave the building shortly, go out, been to church, what effect should a message like this have on us? Number one, it gives us a sense of security. Look at verse number 35 in Romans. We didn't read it to forego the time element. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? who's going to separate me from the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall these things? Not only does it give us a sense of security, but it produces loyalty and faithfulness. Number 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We won't lay down and we won't have to roll over. It produces loyalty and faithfulness to Christ. And then it produces conquerors. Look at verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Call the roll of the martyrs. You'll find few Arminians in it. Because Arminians are so busy trying to hang on and hold on and do the best they can. You'll never be able to keep yourself saved. It is the God who saved you that keeps those whom he saved, saved forever. And finally, provides a great anchor for the soul. Look at verses 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded. We're not going to argue the point any further. No use arguing with me about it because you're going to lose every time. I'm persuaded. My mind's made up now. Just bug off. Here it is. I'm persuaded. Get out of here. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. And if that didn't cover everything, we'll cover some more. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What a marriage. No divorces. He belongs to us. We belong to him. You may not like me, I may not like you, but there's nothing that can dissolve our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can separate us? Who can separate us from the love which is in Christ? Who can do that? Nobody. No thing. If God be for us, who can be against us? This statement, and then we go home. God's not for everybody. God is not for everybody. The Lord hates those who work iniquity. Your Bible says that. But I tell you, God loves his own. God loves his own. And he's only for us, his sheep and his elect. Aren't you glad you're a Christian today? Yes, may God help us to apply these things to our hearts and lives. Make a difference on how we live for Christ and how we face the difficult moments we have to face. Let's stand for prayer, would you please?